agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the Land-Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of August, 2015. It's USDA Crop Production and World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about those reports with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll hear Daryl Good's take on this morning's reports, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. The numbers, by the way, look like this. Corn production at 13.7 billion bushels is higher than expected, with 168.8 bushel to the acres average yield. The soybean production forecast at 3.92 billion bushels. That, too, is also more than expected, with a 46.9 bushel to the acre national average. We'll discuss it all during today's Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look now at what happened in Chicago after the USDA reports this morning. Futures dropped dramatically. Nearby corn futures down 19 and a quarter cents at $3.57 and a quarter. December at $3.68, down 19 and a half. And the March at $3.79 and three quarters, 19 cents lower. May down 18 and a half in the corn pit at $3.86 and a quarter. And July at $3.91 and a half, down 17 and three quarters. Next year's November, or rather December corn, down 9 and a quarter at $3.89 and three quarters. Now the soybeans, August contract, a loss today of 63 cents, $9.51 the trade. September at 9.18 and a half, down 62 and a half. November beans, 61 and a half, lower at $9.10. January 9.15 and a quarter, down 60 and three quarters. And the March contract, 56 and three quarters, down at $9.14. July 49 and a quarter, lower, 9.15 and three quarters. In November of next year, down 39 and three quarters, at $8.85 and three quarters. Bean meal off $12 at $3.35.90. Bean oil down a dollar and a nickel at $29.03. Soft red winter wheat in the September 15 cents lower at $4.92 and a quarter. July at $5.12 and a half for next year, down 15 and a half on the new crop. And the harvest month for the hard red down 12 cents at $5.31 and a half. Live cattle futures finished the August contract $1.52 and a half lower at $148.65. And the feeder cattle were down 2.5 cents today at $2.14 and a nickel.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Here's what the outside markets look at like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. September contract up 23 cents. That at $43.31 a barrel. The ethanol futures are trading at $1.43.5, 2 8 tenths of a cent lower. Gasoline at 6 8 tenths of a cent higher at $1.76 and a tenth. And the RBOB and the heating oil or diesel fuel is 2 6 tenths of a cent higher at $1.58 and 9 tenths. Natural gas at 8 4 tenths higher, $2.92 and 8 tenths of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 33 points at 17,324. U.S. dollar is trading 96.285. That's down 1.05. And gold futures are trading at the $1,123.25 per troy ounce. They're up $15.75. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 82 degrees. On a north-northwest wind at about 7 miles an hour tonight, clear. A low of 60. Thursday, sunny skies and 85 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly clear. A low of 62. Friday, sunny and 87. On Friday evening, partly cloudy and 65. And Saturday, sunny skies and 88. Saturday night, mostly clear and 67. On Sunday, to start the work week, all the way to 90 degrees. Under sunny skies Sunday night, we'll clear out with 69 degrees. And on Monday, again, 90 degrees under mostly sunny skies. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture will release the crop production numbers. This is the first one of the season, and the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. It took the trade by real surprise this morning. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vakes to talk about the numbers and the reaction in Chicago. It was not a pretty event at 11 o'clock, was it?
No, it was quite an ugly event, you know, and just the opposite of a bull in a china shop. I think this was China in the bull shop. Yeah, I think they took the bulls and they shredded them, and they probably even ate a few of them today because, you know, the combination of China devaluing the yuan, certainly that really hurt things just in general. But, you know, the surprise was that we saw a larger corn crop, you know, about 370 million higher than the average guess. We saw a larger bean crop for next year, 200 million higher than the average guess. Most people were not prepared for that, and I don't think most people were prepared actually to see, you know, the bean and corn yields, especially the corn yield, go up from 166.8 to 168.8. And, you know, if you look at the breakdown, I guess you can kind of understand it. I mean, they've got Iowa at 187. No, excuse me, 183. They've got Nebraska at 187, South Dakota 160, even North Dakota 126, 184 up in Minnesota. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, we could get early frost and change that. But so much of that corn is already made. That's the part that's really scary. And so I think this was a huge wake-up call, and now we'll find out. You know, we'll find out if the funds are going to come back in and defend their position, because that's our greatest danger. They were long going into this report, and they do not like to be wrong. And so will we see continued selling tomorrow? Only tomorrow knows.
Yeah, so what do producers do at this point? It's been a tough day today. They're probably all thinking, hey, wait a second, I certainly don't have enough sold at this time. And is there a difference between the corn crop and the soybean crop in your estimation based on what can change between now and harvest?
Well, I think when you look at the, you know, they've got the soybean crop at 99% harvested acres, you know, 98.5 is usually pretty normal. So I guess they're very confident that the majority of acres that they've counted are going to be actually harvested. You know, there are certainly things that can happen, Todd, but, you know, the weather just does not look that scary. And, you know, weather basically is pretty much all that can happen to us that will affect us as far as the size of the crop goes. I think the bigger impact comes right back to carryout. And when you saw them actually lower export expectations for next year's beans by 50 million bushels, I think a lot of people are just, I mean, that's 100 million less than last year. That took the socks out of an awful lot of people. So it's we have to get into September now. Now, once we get into September, then we'll find out. Will we make it on the corn side? It's not looking so good. We know that the margins in ethanol certainly are not what we'd like to see them because of where the, you know, where the oil is. And so, you know, I think that the thing that this may actually do is cause the Fed to rethink raising rates. And that could be good for us because, you know, the dollar did go down today. We need the dollar to not go up anymore, I can tell you that much. And it's going to, from a farm perspective, don't make decisions based on a day like today. We need to get through the rest of this week to find out, will the funds fight to defend? Do people really believe these numbers? Did the black boxes just sell, and now will they be come back in and say, well, this is value, and start to buy? So, I mean, it's not a jump out the window type day. It is a day where you sit back and say, okay, I made a marketing decision when I didn't sell. I have to live with the consequences of that. Now let's see what tomorrow brings.
And tomorrow is going to be, I mean, usually we have a good idea of whether there's going to be much follow through, but the black box trade really has changed things, it appears. and maybe the closing of the pit also, because I don't think you're getting as much information in general. All of us are not getting as much information as they used to from Chicago.
That's exactly the truth. You know, and when you're dealing with a black box, a computer, you're dealing with an inanimate object that really could care less. I always remember one of my friends who works in the option pit told me one time, he said, you know, the big difference between a pit and an electronic is, he said, I could go to somebody and say, listen, you know, I helped you fill an order 6 months ago. I need your help now. And he'd get an order filled. Can you say that to a computer? Heck no. And so I think you're exactly right. You know, and I do believe that we are headed for some more issues coming down. You know, this closing of the pit, I think, is premature, and I think there's going to be more issues that are going to come up because of it. And so we'll see once. But it certainly, this today was a really good example of what it's like to not have a pit and not have the ability to have somebody come in and really do just what I said. Hey, you owe me. I think that, you know, let's work on this. That doesn't happen when you're dealing with just computers.
Yeah, so tell me how things would have happened today for you, for instance, or just any regular trader, do you suppose, rather than what took place?
Well, in what respect? I mean, what are you asking
me
exactly?
So what's the difference for the day for you? So the USDA report comes out. Normally there would be a lot of trade. There'd be a lot of chatter. Did the trade in the black box move faster, more sharply, and too quick for farmers to be able to react? I mean, and they tend to be slow to react because they don't see the numbers right away.
Right. Well, this comes back to what we talk about all the time, Todd, and that is, you know, for me on a day like today is usually pretty quiet, other than having conversations about what the, you know, what the report said and what the market is doing. We've tried ahead of time to be able to be prepared. You know, in other words, so leading up to this, 4 or 5 days prior to a report are extremely busy because you're trying to position is what you're trying to do. And so on a day like today, if you have someone who didn't take part in that, you tell them just what I said. You know, today is a day that we have to get behind us. This is a day of a report. You know, there's circumstances that will cause the market to react even more strongly than it necessarily should. And some of that is, holy smokes, I bought beans yesterday and now I'm 40 cents behind or 50 or 60. Get rid of them. Okay, so you have margin liquidation is what you have. You have so many things that impact the market on a day like today with an extreme move. And so I think, you know, a farmer needs to take a deep breath and say, I am going to take action, but today is not necessarily the day I'm going to do that, because this isn't a good day no matter how you look at it, because you can't feel strongly that we have really, the direction certainly has changed. There's no question, but let's see if we have some follow through as to what that change is. You know, if you look at the market, you know, you look at December corn, we went down, put in a new contract low and ended up 10 and a half cents higher by the end of the day. I thought that was rather impressive, and I didn't think we'd necessarily see that. You know, and if you look at November beans, well, November beans didn't make the contract low. I think that's pretty impressive, considering what was said. And so I think the funds may just take the position that we're going to wait until we have more information, and that's going to be in September. And so between now and the September report, when we have kernel counts and ear weights and pod counts, and, you know, next week is Pro Farmer's Tour. So it may only take till next week. It just depends. Will Pro Farmer confirm these numbers? Because remember, USDA only goes to specific spots. They go to the same spot. And I've asked them numbers of times, you know, what if the field right next to you looks terrible? We cannot do anything about that. And so, you know, it's one of those things where we'll see once. Pro Farmer will probably help us next week, at least to give us some idea. But I think, you know, we'll just do some similar to what we did now in the month of August prior to this report and in the last half of July. It'll be up, down, up, down, up, down, all over the place, you know, maybe just at a different level.
All right. Well, we'll have more to discuss with you next week and tomorrow, too, on Commodity Week. Looking forward to that. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks, Todd. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. That is Jackie Vex. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Well, this morning, as you know by now, at 11 o'clock a.m., USDA released some really surprising numbers for the trade. The marketplace moved sharply lower. Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, is here to explain what those numbers look like, what they might mean over the longer term. Can you go through the numbers very quickly for corn and soybeans for me, please?
You know, I think the relevant numbers for corn are the yield forecast of 168.8 bushels. That's about 4 bushels higher than the average trade guess, and that means that year-ending stocks are now projected at about 1.7 billion bushels for the upcoming marketing year, not much different than what we're going to end this year with, and resulted in the USDA projecting a slightly lower price. That last month they were thinking that the upcoming marketing year we would average about 375, and in today's report they lowered that to 365. And as you indicated, the market responded fairly quickly and really dropped right to that 365 average. The market was trading about 20 cents above that prior to the report, but came right down to that number. In the case of soybeans, I think that's where the bigger surprises are. The average yield estimate at 46.8 bushels per acre, that's almost 2 bushels above the average trade guess, and is projecting to year-ending stocks now once again well above 400 million bushels, I think now at 470 compared to 425 projected last month. And like corn, USDA knocked a dime off of its projected price for the upcoming marketing year. And like corn, the market immediately dropped to that level following the release of this report. We dropped about 50 cents with a higher yield forecast.
This would then make the crop insurance numbers from February important for the marketing year, but I suppose puts farmers in a position that they do what?
Yeah, I think at this point you say, you know, the market quickly adjusted to a new equilibrium price and will probably kind of flatten out at this new price level and wait for the end of the growing season to see if these numbers hold up. As I look at the numbers, I would be a little slower, I think, in selling soybeans at this point, thinking that there's room for both the yield forecast and the harvested acreage forecast to come down a bit from what we're looking at today, resulting in slightly tighter projection for year-ending stocks and maybe a bit of a rebound on price. It's going to be tough to get back to the highs that we saw several weeks ago. But I think from the initial reaction following today's report, I think we will eventually see some modest recovery in soybean prices. Corn is going to be more difficult. I think a lot of people are arguing that this is like 2010 when USDA came in with a very big yield number in August, and then it had to drop sharply after that. I don't really see that happening at this point, but there may be some room for that yield number to come down a smidgen, but it's not going to tighten the balance sheet very much. So I think it's going to be more difficult for corn prices to really rally much from the current level. Any downside risk, again, probably not much as well. So I think we're going to settle into more of a trading range on corn.
What causes you to consider the corn numbers to be fairly accurate at this point?
I think Iowa could be better than what USDA is projecting, but they're not projecting a very high number for Iowa at this point, not even a new record yield for Iowa, unlike all the chatter that we've heard and our own expectations. We thought we might see a number closer to 200 bushels for Iowa like we had in Illinois last year. There may be room for that number to come up a little bit. I'm a little suspect of the Illinois number at 172. That's a bit higher than what we would have thought it would be, so that may come down a bit. But where does the national number go? Perhaps it doesn't change very much from what we're looking at right now. As always, there is room for change because depending on how the growing season ends, how the kernels fill, we know that's where a yield is made or lost. And what USDA is looking at right now is two things. What did farmers tell us they think their yield is going to be? That's a big part of this report. And secondly, what did we measure in the field in those 10 states that we went into? And what this would say is that the kernel counts are there for a fairly high yield. Where does the ear weight end up? That's still the issue at this point.
Anything in the grain stocks report that will be released in September that we should be watching that could change the balance sheets?
The grain stocks report will be important because there's always room for surprises there. You do the accounting, say, based on the previous production forecast and what we think we consumed during the marketing year. This is where ending stock should be. But when USDA measures that, asks farmers and elevator operators how much grain is there on September 1, that's not always the number that we calculated that it should be. So could it be bigger or smaller either way from what USDA is projecting right now? You know, to really change next year's balance sheet very much, that would have to be a pretty big surprise in either corn or soybeans. And those kind of surprises in September are rare, but they do happen, as was the case with soybeans last year.
Thanks so much, Darrell.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Here are some of the rest of the numbers as they came out from the United States Department of Agriculture this morning. For corn yield by state, Minnesota at 184 bushels is 28 to the acre, is 28 bushels to the acre better than last year. Iowa at 183, 5 bushels better than last year. Missouri at 150, down 36 bushels. Illinois at 172, down 28. Ohio at 168, off 8 bushels to the acre. Nebraska, that's the number 3 producer, by the way, at 187 bushels to the acre, 8 bushels better. And Indiana at 158 bushels to the acre for corn statewide, 30 bushels less than last year. Stephen Linneber is on the phone line at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons outside of Logansport, Indiana. Is that number low enough, do you suppose, yet for the Indiana corn crop?
It doesn't feel like it, Todd. It certainly doesn't. I mean, our local crop tours that we've kind of done here the last 2 weeks to 10 days to 2 weeks, we're looking at a 135 to 40 number, but that certainly is still opinionated as well. I think we're a little stout with that plus 150.
All right. So nonetheless, these are the numbers we have to trade. And I bet that producers, I don't know, did they call in today at all?
Yeah, indeed. We fielded a lot of calls, and everybody wanted to know if there was truth behind it. And in all honesty, you look at it, and there's states there that I think are going to perform well beyond what they ever imagined. And then there's states that, compared to last year, are going to give up tremendous yield per acre. Today, it feels like a little fictitious, no question. But at the same time, it's numbers that the market definitely chose to trade.
Did you tighten up on your basis for corn today?
Did not. Definitely still to the idea where we need to own corn, and with the way the market ends up closing here today, it probably leaning more towards the conversation of how much stronger is that going to get to keep the cash bushel moving today.
And just your spot bid for corn, please.
Spot bid for corn be 377 here today.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Stephen Linneber.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Toasted Almond Bar Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1759, Thomas Andrew Knight was born. A British horticulturalist, he initiated the field of fruit breeding, and he investigated the use of greenhouses, plant nutrition, fertilization, and pest control. In 1812, Ephraim Ball was born. An American inventor, he was responsible for creation and manufacture of the Ball's Blue Plow. He also patented what was the first widely successful two-wheel flexible bar mower. In 1851, Isaac Singer was granted a patent for the first sewing machine with a double rocking treadle. In 1948, Harry Beardsley died. He invented stainless steel in 1912. The discovery of the steel, chromium, and nickel alloy revolutionized the cutlery industry. The added metals produced a surface much more rust-resistant than steel alone. And in 2004, Anthony John Clark died, an English molecular biologist. He was a founder of applying molecular technology to farm animals. In 1990, he was successful in producing a sheep giving milk with human proteins. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon, and Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take us through the weather forecast for the next week, and then maybe a quick look into the end of the month of August and what might come up in the first couple of weeks of September. Thanks so much. Tell me about those time frames, please.
Well, certainly near term here, we're going to be seeing somewhat of a limited amount of rainfall in the southwestern Corn Belt, including Kansas, Missouri, parts of southwestern Illinois, down into the Delta, even southwest Iowa and parts of eastern Nebraska will probably see a limited amount of precipitation here in this first week of the several-week outlook here you want me to cover. I think a lot of that precipitation that's going to occur will be focused on the upper Midwest. We'll see Minnesota, the parts of Iowa, Wisconsin, some neighboring areas picking up on some significant rain late this coming weekend into early next week, and there'll be a follow-up system probably coming along as we move on into the latter half of next weekend to the following weekend. So we're going to see good conditions across the upper parts of the Midwest. In fact, it'll get maybe a little too wet in a couple of pockets, but the southern parts of the region probably aren't going to see a lot of precipitation, and as a result of that, we will see net drying and some increase in crop stress possibly in a few areas. Now, as we move into the last days of August, it will probably see the precipitation bias still drier than normal in the southwestern part of the Corn Belt. I think we're actually going to see that area drying down a little bit longer than what a lot of folks might be expecting. So in September in general, maybe even into the early part of October, we may see less than normal rainfall in the southwestern Corn Belt. Everybody else will probably see near to above average precipitation in September, and we'll also see temperatures cooler than usual in the Great Lakes region, southward into parts of Indiana and Ohio. I think we'll probably see a warm September, though, in the northern and central plains, and that will catch some of the westernmost areas of the Corn Belt, mainly near and to the west of the Missouri River. I think as we move into October, we'll probably see favorable harvest weather across a large part of the Midwest. We're still going to be a little on the moist side in the north and still have some coolness around in the north as well. But really, overall, I think we're just going to continue to reinforce this crop.
All right. If you look around the rest of the planet, what do you see for the northern hemisphere, for the major growing regions and how they might make it into the fall?
Certainly am concerned about the situation in Eastern Europe and parts of the former Soviet Union out there in Ukraine and parts of southwest Russia. These areas, along with most of the Balkan region in southeastern Europe, have seen very little rain and a lot of heat here this summer. A lot of folks were making comparisons to 2003 because that was the last time it was really hot in Europe like it has been this summer. But in 2003, it rained periodically in between the heat waves, and this year has not been the case. It's been very dry since the 1st of July in much of Europe, and we're going to see some very large declines in production, I think, in summer crops like oil seeds and late-season corn as a result of this. Some of the dryness has worked its way into Ukraine here recently. We're going to see a little bit of relief in all of this dry area here over the coming week, but probably fall back into some more drier bias conditions in the following week. Everything is good in China, and India is looking okay for right now, and I don't think there's too many areas we have to be concerned with, but certainly the Europe and then the former Soviet Union area is certainly of great interest right now.
Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason.